We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions live on a Tuesday night, our baseball futures show. We're going to get through as many of the season-long player wagers as we can. We'll hit some of those with Dave Sharapan coming up in this hour. We're going to talk to Craig Mish, the outlook on some of these clubs, talk a little bit about Blake Snell going to the Giants, the New York Yankees as well. And we'll also talk to Donnie Wrightside in 20 minutes or so on this show. Nobody better getting you set for the day-to-day betting of Major League Baseball, which begins on Thursday. Let's talk some season-long wagers. Told Tom Vecchio I've got some Byron Buxton and some Mike Trout. Laughed at me. Now, listen, it was, of course, with respect, but I'm well aware of the injuries and the concerns around Byron Buxton. But so are the books. I'm taking him over 23.5 home runs. This is not a number that Byron Buxton needs to play 150 games to clear. Let's take a look at his last three seasons. In 61 games, he hit 19 home runs on a 105-game pace. 105, which is way more than 50 games missed. That's 33 home runs. In 2022, 92 games, 28 home runs. Hit the prop in 92 games. That is a 32 home run pace over 105 games. Last year, 85 games, 17 home runs, 21 homers. Just misses it. Again, I'm keeping 105-game pace. Why did he miss it? He was a 207 hitter. He had off-season surgery and says he's feeling as good as he has in quite some time. I know the back tightened up on him the other day. As long as the knees stay fine, that is key. This is a guy who's talked about wanting to steal more. I don't mind if you touch that 101 MVP number. We know the high end of Byron Buxton's a 40-40 guy. That's the high end of Byron Buxton. This is the low end. This is a 110 games, 25 home run season from Byron Buxton. It's worth a shot here. Give me his over. Give me Seiya Suzuki of the Chicago Cubs over 20.5 home runs. Oh, by the way, on Byron Buxton, I went through a lot of projections here. Fangraphs had 7 different available. Looked through some other models there. 6 out of 7. On Fangraphs have Byron Buxton over this number. As far as Seiya Suzuki goes, 7 of 7 have him over 20.5 home runs. Last year he hit 20, but he was red hot post break. In about 20 less games post All-Star break, in 67 total, he had 13 home runs compared to 7 in the first half, where he was a 313 hitter during that stretch. In spring this season, tearing the cover off the baseball, 6 home runs and batting over 450. I mentioned it. I think the Cubs could be sneaky this season with Craig Counsell in the fold, with Seiya Suzuki taking a step forward, Justin Steele leading the charge in that rotation. But maybe they're not as sneaky as I thought. I thought their number would be a bit lighter. So ultimately, I backed off some of those big-time Cubs futures. They are round pick to make the postseason, which I don't mind because I don't love the NL West. And I think a lot of people think that the Central is only a one-playoff team. I think the Cubs win the Central, but if they don't, they could still get in as a wild-card team. Sticking in the Central, Hunter Green under 9.5 wins. This is a situation where we talked about this with Tom Vecchio, but playing unders for season-long wagers is something that if you can do it on a pitcher, you're going to feel a little bit more comfortable about. 6 of 7, we had him at 9. An additional one had him at 9 as well. But this is a whole other scenario here. 46 career starts for Hunter Green, 9 total wins. The Reds are supposed to be better. How much better? And even if they're better, is Hunter Green going to take the necessary steps forward? I know he has a lot of potential. I know he's a great strikeout guy. That doesn't necessarily mean he's a great wins guy. Guess who's been awful in spring again? Hunter Green. His ERA is above a 7 right now. If Hunter Green didn't have so much already invested in him by his high-level draft choices this franchise, there's a world that they don't have him on their opening day rotation. That's how bad he's been. This is a team with expectations. But what that also means is there's a world where Hunter Green gets moved around. If he's continuously getting rocked, I don't see any path here for Hunter Green to get over 9.5 wins. We're playing that number under. Radio audiences here, by the way, SiriusXM, Channel 159, with us across the network on a Tuesday with Game Time Decisions. I'm Kevin Walsh with you as we get you set for the Major League Baseball season, which begins on Thursday at 1 o'clock, probably 3 o'clock, with some rain. My favorite season-long straight wager is Gunnar Henderson over 79.5 RBIs. All seven projections have him over this number of 79.5. The average ranking has him going about over with about 88, maybe 89 RBIs. And he hit 82 last season as a 250 hitter. This is a guy who has the seventh best odds to win AL MVP. You know, it's possible that Gunnar Henderson, who has again been piping hot throughout spring, if this guy is a 275 hitter, I mean, he's just going to fly through this number. And here's the other major advantage. Last year, a lot of time batting first or even second, projected to hit third in this lineup this season. Those RBI opportunities now with Cedric Mullins and Adley Rutschman in front of him make for a phenomenal opportunity here on Gunnar Henderson. If you're going to join me in playing Gunnar Henderson, or rather the Orioles to win the World Series, Gunnar Henderson over 79.5 RBIs is a really nice way to cover yourself on that wager, because Gunnar's going to have to be a big part of this team's success. Let's get in the Ellie De La Cruz picks here, since we already talked about Hunter Green from the Reds. Look, he is electric. But I've already talked about some of the projection models that I wanted to use and rely on. And those models actually don't like Ellie De La Cruz over his 39.5, 40.5 stolen bases. Respectfully, I think they're wrong. But it would be foolish of me to trust those models when I'm placing a lot of these wagers and then just kind of hand wave it because it didn't fit what I wanted to see from Ellie De La Cruz. So what I'm doing is taking elevated numbers on EDC here. And I'm taking him for 50-plus steals and 60-plus steals at big-time plus money, plus 285 on the 50-plus and plus 680 on the 60-plus. He's 7-1 to lead the league in steals. I don't mind that at all. He stole 35 bases last year in 98 games. 35 bases, 98 games. The lowest projected games total I saw was 138. So that same pace would put him at 48.6. But that doesn't account for Ellie De La Cruz getting better. He started red hot in June. Red hot. With that .358 on base percentage and stole 9 bases. In September, just a few more games, the on base percentage was .313. Stole 12. What you'll notice is there was a huge gap in batting average between June and September, but not as big of a gap in on-base percentage to June to September. He started to walk more, which is huge. Home runs don't help us, Ellie. Triples don't help us. They could, because he's that good. Doubles, not really. The idea is get on first and go. And he's going to do that way more this season. It's also important, last year spent a lot of time hitting fourth, projected to hit second this season. A few extra plate appearances make the difference there. We go EDC for 50 plus and 60 plus. Craig Mitch joins the show next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here is Game Time Decisions on SportsGrid. I'm Kevin Walsh. I'm joined by Craig Mish, of course, baseball insider, host of Newswire here on the network. And Craig, we're getting set for another baseball season. How are you?
I'm doing great, Kevin. Can't wait. Thursday, can't get here soon enough. I'll be at a game. There's no doubt about that at this point. I think I missed one opening day the last, like, 20 years or something like that. Like, I just couldn't get out of it. I think it was my daughter was singing somewhere, and my wife was like, "You're going to miss opening day, and I don't want to hear about it." And that was the only time I ever missed it, and I did. But I'll be there this year.
All right, so that's good. We'll have boots on the ground with Craig. And Craig, there's a few teams I kind of want to throw an overview on if we can. And look, people have talked the Dodgers to death. I want to talk about the Braves, who spent all of last season as the best team in baseball. And on Newswire, you had their general manager on to talk a little bit about the team heading into the season, which is awesome stuff. And I'm curious how you feel about Atlanta heading into this year, because again, the talk of the town is the Dodgers, but the Braves, I mean, look, whether, you know, they didn't add Ohtani, and they probably will still say, hey, our roster lines up with anybody in baseball, and might be better than anybody's in baseball.
Yeah, their offense is fantastic, and they were healthy for the most part last year. Acuna wins the MVP, and it's amazing, Kevin, that a team could lose Freddie Freeman and then just seemingly add another first baseman that also has a monster year in Matt Olson. They get a new catcher. They call guys up from the minors, Michael Harris. Like, that lineup, 1 through 8 or 1 through 9, is as dynamic, I think, as any team in baseball. What's really held back the Braves is sort of themselves in the end. And, you know, it's interesting. One of the things that I asked Alex Anthopoulos on the show, Kevin, was, you know, years ago, you know, 10, 20 years ago, the best teams in baseball generally made it to the end. They've added all of these new wild card iterations. Mm-hmm. And I think that as we're watching the NCAA tournament, it sure feels the same in baseball, where you get to the end, they put seedings together, and then anything can happen. And it really doesn't matter where you are. You're the 1, you're the 3, you're the 5, you're the 6. Whoever gets hot at that time didn't always work like that. And now it definitely seems like it is. So the Braves' big question going into the season is, like an NCAA tournament team or like an NBA team that's just, you know, kind of going through the motions, the Braves are going to win a lot of games. They're going to get to the postseason, but they'll be judged based on how they do in the postseason, because the last couple of years they fell flat.
And I know last year, Craig, there was a real peak of the conversation of the postseason buys and if they're actually a disadvantage. And I feel like this year could be a tipping point in that conversation. But again, that's a conversation that we'll have in October, right? And until that point, we're going to watch a team like the Braves win a ton of games and say they're going to win a World Series. And then we have to see how much we trust it when it gets to the postseason. I think a team that has, you know, tried to pride themselves on that bar was the New York Yankees. And, you know, last year clearly fell flat. The offseason, bringing in Soto, was supposed to bring a lot of positivity. And look, sometimes this is how it goes, Craig. The negative news hits you early, and it's hit the Yankees early. With questions around Gerrit Cole, you know, people wonder if Judge is ever really going to be a fully healthy baseball player. I'm curious your thoughts and your feelings on the Yankees heading into this baseball season.
Yeah, look, they have some nice little wild cards, like players who really didn't perform last year that if they do this year could change things for them. Cortez and Carlos Rodon. I mean, those things are definitely within the realm of possibility and in play. And Juan Soto is going to have a big year for the Yankees, because wherever he is, he has a big year. Like, he's a great, great player. But I just don't see it with them. Again, I think we're going down a similar road with them, an all or nothing type team, leaning on Judge way too much. You know, Soto is a guy that, look, he's going to try and hit home runs. He's going to try and double, but the guy will take walks. He's got to have other guys in the lineup that are consistent behind him. And I think the Yankees are still lacking that. And without having Cole to start the season, their pitching is a little bit questionable. I don't know, Kevin. It just feels to me like we can do this every year with the Yankees, and in the end they fall short. Sure. I don't think this year is going to be much different. I think Baltimore is better than them. I think Tampa Bay is better than them. I think Toronto has a really good chance to be better than them too. I don't think Boston is, but I think those other teams are. So if you told me at the end of the year the Yankees won like 83 games or 82 or 80, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Well, and look, to your point, last year they won 82 games, which put them in fourth, and, you know, above them, 89 wins, 99 wins, 101 wins. The Yankees could have themselves a solid year and be third in this division. So there's a lot of difficulty there. And what that led to, Craig, was some people here locally saying, hey, go grab Blake Snell. That's not how it went. He ends up with the San Francisco Giants. I'm curious for you, though, because look, fans, right, react to the Blake Snell contract of, oof, that's a bad look. Guy off an NL Cy Young. You know a lot more. You speak to a lot more people. What was your reaction to how all of this stuff with Blake Snell played out, now landing with the San Francisco Giants?
Well, I mean, free agency was not pretty this offseason. A lot of guys waited to get signed, and I think that's something that's got to change. You see there's at least murmurs of some beef in the players' union. This is not a good recipe for success. I get it that the game is never going to have that free agent frenzy like the NBA or the NFL because you have a floor and you have a cap, and you got to spend the money one way or the other. I mean, you could spend the minimum, but you have to spend. So therefore, everybody is out there right away figuring out who they want to get on their team. Baseball just hasn't been like that. I think it's got to change. It's not good for the game to have JD Martinez and Snell and Montgomery and so many other, by the way, other free agents not signed in January is like sort of insane.
Right.
But, you know, from Snell's point of view, he got a two-year deal. He can opt out after one. In terms of money, he went to the spot that seems to have the most money to burn right now, Kevin, in San Francisco. They went after Aaron Judge. It didn't work. They tried for Carlos Correa. It didn't work. That was like $700 million in contracts. So that should tell you the story. The Giants want to spend some money and they want to get back in this thing. Now, we could debate whether or not they did it the right way with getting Snell and Soler and Chapman. Is that going to buy you a playoff appearance or a World Series? I'm not so sure. But at least credit to the Giants for trying. They're just having a really hard time getting free agents to play in the Bay Area.
Craig, I want to ask you about a guy who looks like he might I don't know. Maybe I'm off base here. I even hesitated on finishing that sentence. I was going to say forgotten territory. Mike Trout is, for me, I feel like feels like just a decade of being the best in the world, right? Now, other guys were there, but then the injuries crept in. But then Ohtani was there. Mm-hmm. And then they couldn't, you know, they weren't healthy enough together. But Ohtani's completely gone. And the idea around the Angels, I mean, this is a team that's 45-1 to just win their division. There's good teams in the division, but there's not even if they hit their ceiling convo. Are we in a spot now where Mike Trout, if he's healthy, will put up good numbers, but outside of that, we're not going to talk about Trout? Or could somebody grab him out of L.A. and he finds himself on a contender at some point during the season?
Yeah, I could see it happening. And look, you can't rule anything out in baseball. No one thought Soto would be traded a couple of years ago, and he was. Kevin, I'm on board with that. You know, the Angels, to me, did very little this offseason, and I believe the one pitcher they signed is injured. Really no direction at this point, no farm system. And to me, I think they're in for a very long season. I think this is the kind of year for the Angels where they may have to start it over. It looked like they tried to appease Ohtani at the deadline last year and say, hey, let's go get Giolito and let's go get Matt Moore and all these other players. Mm-hmm. Randall Grichuk, it didn't work out at all, and they got rid of them all again, you know? So I would basically be looking at the Angels as probably one of the five worst teams in baseball this year, and I just wonder what would happen at the trade deadline if some team dangled some prospects for Trout. Would I say it's a lock that he's traded? No, but I would tell you that if he is, Kevin, my gosh, this is a 100 loss team this year. There's no doubt about that.
And again, I bring that up because when you're talking baseball futures, we made this point with Joe Pisapia. There's the rosters now, but the baseball's deadline to me is completely different than everybody else's. I mean, you can bank on really, really impactful players getting moved every Major League Baseball deadline, it feels. And, of course, Craig will be covering that when the time comes. But for now, he'll be enjoying opening day. Craig, we appreciate your time here on Game Time Decisions.
Of course, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
All right, great stuff there. We'll be right back here on Sports Grid, breaking down the Major League Baseball season.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game Time Decisions, Kevin Walsh with you here, getting you set for the Major League Baseball season. And there is no one better to talk to for the day-to-day betting of baseball than Donnie Wrightside, of course, himself. And Ben Stevens will be on a regular basis hitting the full card of Major League Baseball on the early line right here on Sports Grid, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern. DRS, how are we feeling?
Feeling good, ready to go for Major League Baseball season. Unceremonious start to Major League Baseball season because I don't know if opening day is this week or if is it last week or what's going on. But one thing's for sure, over the summer months here, that day-to-day grind, I really miss that. And I can't wait for baseball to get back into my life.
It is a good point and as tempting as it is to just spend this time talking about the preposterousness of the baseball start. We could instead talk about that it went well for you right out of the gates. some Ohtani RBI shots there. And I've, of course, to the early line with you for a while. We still do money line together. So I've really enjoyed even watching some of the day-to-day betting for you kind of switch your eye, right? Going from a team total to hit props to RBI shots. Are you figured out already as to, on a day-to-day basis, which markets you're hoping to attack?
Yeah, the evolution of handicap, and at least from myself, and I always preach this to people, I've been around this game for a long time, and it wasn't too long ago, which I guess maybe it would be long ago, about 10 years or so, where you're just betting sides or maybe totals to baseball games. Then they go over to team totals, and the market last year that I found so exciting, so much fun, and so profitable, Kevin, was the RBI numbers, and even going from one RBI up to two RBI and the differences that those pay out. So the evolution of a handicapper such as myself, it's changing every single year. I'll probably be looking at team totals, but much, much more into that RBI market. And Kevin, I'll probably find markets this year that I didn't know existed last year and try to explore those. Never stop learning and never stop handicapping yourself when you're taking a look at games like baseball, because every single year, new markets come into play that you might think you have an edge in, where maybe years ago, it was just a money line play simplicity on a game, or maybe a first five innings wager.
Now, I know as the year carried on, you started to angle up some of the single props. I know if Dinger Tuesday shows its face once again, you'll be ready to go in that market as well. The one thing I know, and anybody that's followed Donnie's work, is timing matters. According to Donnie, the college basketball season began about 3 weeks ago, or maybe a month at this rate here. Exactly. So for you, Major League Baseball-wise, Donnie, kind of, I know you'll be breaking games down right away, but what is kind of the jump-off point you're expecting here with this baseball season?
Yeah, and if anybody doesn't know what Kevin's talking about, I'm usually a slow play into seasons here. When I want to say betting real money, that's the wrong way to terminize it. But when the numbers come into play and you think you have an advantage, NFL's a little bit different. Maybe wait a week or two there, but on a week-to-week basis, you can sort of exploit some of those edges, but it's not all numbers-driven. As we know, Kevin, there are sites that you can use in college basketball once teams get about 20 games in where you have them nailed down. And it's the same thing with Major League Baseball. How are you going to absolutely bet a pitcher early in the season when you're not sure how they're going to start out? But you know what I like to bet a pitcher, Kevin? When I got 15 games under his belt and I know exactly what his splits would be home and away, how he likes to pitch in elevation environments like Colorado. Can he pitch in those environments? Or how does he do in, let's just say, bandboxes like Citizens Bank Ballpark in Philadelphia or Yankee Stadium in New York? The sweet spot for me, honestly, is May right through to August 31st. Because once you started getting around that trade deadline in that range, things start to change where the winners turn into losers and the taxes go on the teams that need to win. And you pretty much know what teams are basically angling for next offseason, a higher draft pick, and unloading players on their team. So once you get through about a month in the season in April, also, Kevin, that's when the weather starts to warm up and the hitting prospects come around at that point as well.
We may get into weather a bit. That this sport, baseball, is why throughout football season, I've often said, Donnie, tell me what the weather is. I trust Donnie's weather more than anybody else's because it matters a lot to the baseball caps. But before we get to degrees, let's talk about weighted on base average. This is something that, again, and I'm sure you'll, you know, really set the table for people. And I just think it's important to do, Donnie, because I've told you this before. Plenty of times, my father would listen to the early line, and he'd be like, now, what is this weighted on base average thing that Donnie's talking about? He's familiar with batting average, you know, on base percentage here. But I know that is a key number from a hitter's perspective, and I know there are key numbers pitchers-wise that you really focus in on to find your advantages.
And you can also point out there, Kevin, in a similar fashion, ISO power numbers. What you're doing is basically isolating the power of an individual at their at-bats. If you love RBI props, what's better than a guy who's going to drive the baseball? And you say, well, the only average is one hit a game, but if he does make contact, it's going to go a long way. So those matter. And also, you can match it in opposite directions, as you just talked about. Weighted on base percentage from a pitcher. What does he struggle with? Well, look, he's a right-handed pitcher. His weighted on base percentage is 380 or higher to left-handed batters. So what are you going to look for in that day in the lineup going pitcher? Let me see the lefties in the lineup. Let me see how many they have, because let's just say you like a team total. Let's use the Yankees. It's 4.5 here. You want an average that says, you know what? If this pitcher's on the mound struggles with lefties, oh boy, look at the Yankees. Six left-handed batters out of 9 possible in the lineup today. Those are the games you start to look at and try to differentiate who you're going to bet. And then you try to find out a Giancarlo Stanton, a judge on that aspect. How are they doing against those pitchers? Now, the one thing I really don't look at, which a lot of people do, Kevin, is how have they done against that same pitcher in the past? I don't care about that. I'm almost looking at that pitcher just as an obsolete face right there and say, what are his numbers this year? What are his numbers, Kevin, in the last 30 to 60 days? Which brings up an even better point there, right? Because if you start out the season red hot in April, let's just say a player is a left-handed batter against righties. Kevin, he's hitting 600 against right-handed pitching. But then you take a look at June and July, he's not so good. Well, if you average out April, May, and June, and it's still really good, I don't like that here. I'd rather remove April and look at the last 60 days and say, oh, no, he's struggling. Let's move on to another pitcher, or excuse me, another batter going up against a certain pitcher at this point. So also, throughout the points of the season, those change. I love to look at past 30 days and 60 days more than those season totals. Because again, just to keep it simple, just because a guy is really hot in the month of August, you might be able to ride that out. But what happens if he struggled in April, May, June, and July? You might wipe him off of your calendar in that whole month of August. He's raking. I'm like, well, his numbers don't make sense. Yes, they do. Adjust the numbers as you move throughout the season.
It's one of the keys that I've seen from Donnie. What, you know, this is the ultimate, what have you done for me lately?
Correct.
Right? You know, and you could take it from a team angle. You know, there was a point in the calendar year where the Tampa Bay Rays, you know, every number looked great because of April. And then we hit that little middle stretch there, and I was like, oh, wait a minute, this isn't the same. And those team totals started to go under, and it changes the math a little bit. But that then begs the question, Donnie. And again, that's why I pointed out, I know there's a ramp-up point for you, but you're still involved day-to-day. What will you be trying to use here to navigate that, you know, back end of March through April waters?
Here's what you're looking for. And again, it does deal a lot with winter. And that's what we're going to have in the month of March. Going to be a lot of baseball played, you know, in the northern hemisphere. Let's say northern hemisphere here. Let's just say in the northern part of the United States, where you're going to get temperatures in degrees, Kevin, 35, 40 degrees. That's not hitting weather here. You know the ball travels better when the heat is on. Now, granted, as I said that, there are environments that you can bet early in the season. Hence, teams that play in the South. Teams that play in the domes. You're going to look at teams on the West Coast, San Diego, not necessarily hitters ballpark, but you know they're not going to have 30-degree weather in their ballpark. The Dodgers as well. Those are the ones you want to take advantage of. But from a betting perspective, what has worked in the past, it's not even necessarily handicapping. Here's what I always try to preach. In the month of April, and you can even use this as any sport, Kevin, you don't know you're bad until your record tells you you're bad. Everybody starts the season with high hopes. Let's make a playoff run. So that first month of April, you're getting the best of the best out of everybody. Case in point, everybody thinks the Dodgers are going to run away with the National League. They play two games. They're 1-1. It's not as if they're going to win every single game they play, even if they're favored, probably every single game they play. The reason I bring that up is ride some of those hot streaks, yes, but take the plus money in April, because you're looking at a series here, again, with the Dodgers. They might be in a series minus 400 favorites. So if you're a dog at a 300 price, win one of those and you cash in on those. So my thought process in the month of April is forget about the sides and laying juice. Just take the plus money. More times than not, that bad baseball team, Kevin, let's just say it's the Pirates, they might play 500 in April because they're going to hang around. Pitchers aren't stretched out. Bullpen's a little bit messy. The weather isn't there. But once you get into June, July, and August, those teams know they're bad, and that's when the numbers really come into play. Take the dogs, Kevin, early in the season.
And with that, though, Donnie, of fading the Dodgers, if we're talking futures market, for you, the value appears to be beyond LA at last look. I mean, this team is nearly plus 300 to win a World Series, which is incredibly impressive when you consider how strongly the Atlanta Braves are booked in this market. What has caught your attention futures-wise?
Here's what you have to understand, and I guess it's similarities to the NBA. If you take a look at Major League Baseball, does the regular season matter? Absolutely. But it's apparent that in Major League Baseball, once you get through the regular season and you get in that quick, whether it's a three-game series, a five-game series, or a seven-game series, pitching really matters, and sometimes the best teams don't win it. Case in point, the Atlanta Braves in the National League. Looks like every year they're the best team. They get in the playoffs, and they get beat. Now, here's what I like and how you can maybe adjust those numbers. The Dodgers probably will be the best team in baseball in the regular season because of the strength of the depth of their team. They can out-hit anybody. But once you get to the playoffs, Kevin, you're going to face ace after ace after ace. So if you want to say to myself, you know what, Donnie, What's a team outside of the Dodgers that we can take? If you're just looking in the National League, of course it's going to be the Braves, a plus 450 price. The Phillies at a 15-1 and the Giants at 45-1. You say, well, did you just throw a dart here like at three different levels? No, the Braves have an unbelievable 1-2 punch. The Philadelphia Phillies, an unbelievable 1-2 punch. And late to the party now, adding Blake Snell, are the Giants at 45-1. It's not about the regular season. You don't cash these tickets at the end of that. You cash it through the playoffs. Take the teams with great rotations on their 1-2 punches. They'll give you a chance against anybody.
And if the Dodgers meet expectations, talked about this, but those buys have not worked out.
True.
In recent memory. So if that plays out, I know we don't have enough time, so I'll just mention, because I know Nani, as far as AL MVP, Soto and Judge at the top, good luck, cancel each other out. Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Ohtani
right shot.
At the top, good luck,
no
they cancel each other out. Those guys are done before the season begins. Nani, appreciate it. As always, make sure you catch those baseball breakdowns daily on the Early Line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions. Here with you on a Tuesday night. I'm Kevin Walsh. Been able to talk to Donnie Wrightside, getting you set for the day today. Talk a little Joe PCP, a little Craig Mish, a little Tom Vecchio. It's been a blast. One more to go. And that is our good friend, Dave Sharapan, the consig. You knew he would be baseball ready. You knew it would be an AL East team. Consig, how are you?
Great. You know, I couldn't come with the Yankee stuff. I don't want to pander to the host too much.
Okay.
I wore the Yankee stuff
okay,
last
interesting.
Week. Right? Threw you off.
Right.
And the other choice was for, you know, the esteemed producer of the show. But I don't have any national stuff because really, why else would you have the national stuff? It's been a while, you know, the hats, when they won the World Series back then, I mean, they got gold in them and all those other things. They're like, it's ancient history. But what better than to show up and talk about baseball with a team from Florida that just goes over their season win total every year? Doesn't matter what you make
they
the
sure
number.
Do.
That's it. It's the Rays. Come on. Look at that. Logo.
Razor sharp. Looks good. A little Devil Rays action there.
Yeah.
So far, Consig, I've given out 13 of 15 season-long bets when it comes to the baseball season. I saved two for you. I'll recap
Excellent.
The ones you've missed in a moment.
Please.
But the two I saved, I felt like you would you'd have some fun with. We'll start here. Shohei Ohtani to lead baseball in RBI, 15-1. I know Consig can absolutely vouch for this angle. This is plus 650 on DraftKings, and he's listed as the favorite. Now, that's probably DK making a mockery of a number, if we're being honest, but I'm basically getting an all-time odds boost here by betting it at 15-1. We've got two RBI already on the board, thanks to the Seoul series.
Yes.
And if you look at the other folks around Ohtani, this 15-1 is the same number as Freddie Freeman. Zero projections put him over 100. Soto doesn't clear 110. I'm talking about a max projection, looking at seven different projection sets. A max out. Nobody puts Soto over 110. Nobody puts Austin Riley over 110. Nobody puts Pete Alonso over 115. Olsen doesn't go over 120. Judge hits 120. You know who has the highest number I saw? Shohei, 129. Two of them actually had him over 120. In this lineup, with this projection, with this protection as well, give me 15-1 Ohtani, lead the league in RBI.
It's in the two-hole, K-Dub. You want a two-hole
That's
hitter?
Right.
This is strong.
So is Judge. Or Judge is
yeah.
the three now, I guess.
Yeah.
Right? But that's where these guys hit. That's where they kind of hit.
To lead?
Yordan's up to a two-hole.
Wow. Okay.
We got two on the board.
All we got to do is keep this guy on the field. I think you're going to have action. I mean, all we got to do is keep him on the field. Injuries.
Which?
Other things.
Other things. Well, I'll tell you, that's one of the big benefits, though, now, is him being DH only, right? It's just hitting,
yeah.
right? So you would hope less, you know, injury risk there as
yes.
well. Ohtani RBI leader. Speaking of injury risk, I saved the best for last.
Here we go. Please don't
this
tell me
this show almost began.
Please, there better not be a Stanton future. right now, please.
Season specials. Uh-oh. I had two listed.
Uh-oh.
I got rid of the one that was that involved Stanton.
Thank you.
But I was going to take him, Soto, and Judge for 30-plus at plus 240. I got rid of it because I'm the most unbiased man in the history of sports media. Here's what I did not get rid of.
Oh, God.
Mike Trout, 40-plus home runs and 3-plus stolen bases, plus 650. Let's start with this.
Wow.
The steals are a lock.
Done.
A dangerous word, a lot of people saying. Yeah. The steals would be a risk-free investment. I'm not worried about it. You can't find his steals over under. Don't worry about it. He stole a base in spring. Ron Washington, Angels GM, wants more stealing.
Yes.
So if we could agree that he's going to steal three bases, guess what?
We can.
He's plus 300 to hit 40 home runs on the same exact book. We're getting more than double the number. So we've already done a nice job for ourselves here. We've already done a nice job. If you look at the projections that I've been looking through, of seven, five have him getting to 35 or more. Now, while none have him getting to 40, that's because we are expecting some injury. But we're getting a nice number.
Yes.
If we had all these projections getting him to 40, we wouldn't be getting 3-1 or plus 650 in this instance.
Right.
Here's the trick.
Okay.
Otani's gone. So now Trout can DH if he's ever flirting with injury and stay in that lineup. Because if you're the Angels, all that matters is Trout playing. You have nothing else. Give me Mike Trout. Plus 650, Consig. 40-plus home runs, 3-plus swipes.
We got to keep this guy on the field. I mean, this guy's – my daughter told me a knock-knock joke where I want to use it right now. Knock-knock, who's there? Disguise. Disguise who? This guy's killing me with these futures that you're doing right now because you got this guy that can't stay on the field, and he don't have no protection. But if he's going to do it, I think this could be the year he does it, right? This is Mike Trout's year to stay healthy. Like you said, DH, when he doesn't have to play the field. You know I like unders. I mean, I always like unders. And you went over. This is scary. I agree with you with the stolen bases. Okay, this is good. We got to keep this guy. Can we get at least 30? So we got to sweat in this. I don't want to have him missing two months. Or any of that stuff.
Consig, I'm not going to pretend that Trout doesn't have an injury history.
Yeah.
Last year only played 82 games.
Yeah.
Season before that, 119, hit 40 home runs on the dot.
Let's go.
Now, the season before that, he only played 36.
Ah.
The year before that, he played 53.
Ah.
That was 53 out of 60.
Mm-hmm.
That was 53 out of 60, though.
How many home runs?
The year before that, it was 134. Then the year before that, it was 140.
Yeah.
Right. Look, I'm just saying, I've got multiple 40-plus home runs within his last five seasons.
Okay.
He has a better chance to stay healthy with that DH spot being open. Unders. What would I be
excited
to give
you? Why would
you
pitch to him, though? Aren't you concerned that he's going to get the Barry Bonds treatment?
Dave,
he's never going to see a strike.
Dave, why'd they ever pitch to him? He was winning MVPs way before Shohei Ohtani had any idea he was going to play in the majors. Why'd they ever pitch to him? They pitch,
all right.
Dave.
All right.
They all pitch.
Right. Let's give them. I hope they're right.
Hey, it's plus 650, right?
Plus 650. That's good.
Plus
you always do the due diligence of shopping for the best price, too.
Now,
that's one thing when you come with these plays. I don't even have to ask you, what does this other book have? Did you look around?
Yeah, you know how it goes.
You know, you do the work. You actually check around and get the best price. That's what we need.
You want an under win total or an under player?
Oh, you got an under win total?
I got a few.
What? Breaking news.
I'll give you two of them.
Sam, clip this.
I'll give you two of them.
Give them to me.
I'll give you two of them.
Please.
The first one, straightforward. I think you'll like it. Braves under 110. Or excuse me, 101, not 110, I wish.
Oh, under 101. You found 110. We got to come to New York or wherever you're at.
No.
Found under 110. We're coming. We're bringing the bag, too. Okay.
Under 101 and a half.
I see what you did there. I want this to happen. Why? Why are we – because of the high number? Why?
I mean, largely 100-plus win totals go under. They added five wins on the number from last year. They didn't add any players. So in order to get through this number, what, everybody has to repeat having a career year?
and stay healthy? Feels unlikely.
Think about that division, though. They get to play the Nationals a lot.
I like that division. I like that division.
You like the
Mets?
And
I'll tell you this.
The Mets?
I think the division has juice. Let me pull this up for you.
Okay.
Hold on. I'll find it
for
you.
The Marlins?
You know, the notes are robust. They were 35-17 in the division last year. 35-17.
It's pretty good.
Was great. Can I get him to 31-21?
Sign me up.
That's great.
That might get us under the 101.5. Okay.
So now here's the wacky one. But I think you'll enjoy this.
Please.
Brewers under 13.5 wins by the end of April. +110, by the way.
Oh. I love the month bets. I tried to do this when I was in the room. I was met with nothing but resistance because they said, we're not really looking at this, Dave. I said, well, why not? Because come May, we're going to need stuff for June and July and August to get us through. Monthly season win totals. How many games they got, K-Dub? In
30.
Okay, so we got to be under 500. Do we have a tough schedule? More games on the road?
So, Dave, I'll let you do it. Maybe I'm biased. I already placed the bet, but I am the most unbiased man in the history of sports media. I'll give you the series. The location, the team, the length of games. You tell me if they are favored to win the series.
Okay.
At the Mets for 3.
No.
Versus the Twins, home for 2.
Pick them.
Home against the Mariners for 3.
Depending on the pitching matchups, they're not favored in that series.
At the Reds for 4.
No, pick them. Small dogs.
At the Orioles for 3.
No, definitely not.
Home against the Padres for 3.
Maybe 2 out of 3 favorites. Small, pick them. Small.
At the Cardinals for 3.
I'm so down on the Cardinals. Depending on the pitching matchups, that might be a pick, but they're still going to be dogs in that series.
At the Pirates for 4.
Don't even start messing me with the Pirates. They're going to be dogs. Pick them.
Home against the Yanks for 3.
Yankees. I can't. I mean, they're going to be dogs in that one, too. If they get Cole one time, they're definitely dogs. Not Cole.
2 games against the Rays left.
Wow.
That's all that's left. That
sounds like
12 wins. Zero series.
12 wins.
Zero of them.
12.
Zero. Not one, not two. Zero. Dave sees them as a definitive favorite. Zero.
No, we just did it. I mean, that's how you do it in a room. Let's sit down and do this. Let's come out with a number. Right there, the number's 14. 30 games, 14-16. At best, we're under 13.5. Plus money?
We're under 13.5. Plus money.
Plus money?
Slapping in Rangers under 88.5, Royals 74.5.
Under Rangers? You don't like
under Rangers.
This Rangers team. What? You're against the world with the Royals. I like that. Everybody's on this Royals over. Yeah. Who's coming with that? A baseball guy only. Why the Rangers?
The Rangers World Series bets are a lot better than their division bets. DeGrom's not healthy. Scherzer's not healthy. Langford and Carter, we'll see how it goes. I know Carter was great in the postseason. I get it. I don't care.
Okay.
Their second and third best hitters are rookies. Like Adolis can hit for pop, but he's not a consistent guy. Simeon's never going to finish with a top 3 MVP season again. Come on.
Whoa.
He's not.
I like that guy.
He's a good player. I'm going to you like this. How many guys on that lineup, are minus money to make an all-star game? 1.
That's it?
1. It's Seager's the only one. Go through it. You putting Wyatt Langford minus money?
I don't know.
Minus?
He's pretty good.
You booking it? We'll talk.
We'll look. I don't know. I pause on the Rangers.
We'll talk.
That was an unbelievable sight.
Come on, people. We'll close out the baseball special next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions, the baseball preview that you needed to get set for opening day on Thursday. Tomorrow, Joe Ranieri will have you covered right here on Game Time Decisions. Up next is In Game Live Thursday, Bracket Central live from the city. I will see you Friday right back here for more Bracket Central Sweet 16 coverage with Donnie Wrightside. We've gone through 15 future bets. But if I had to pick one, I wanted to pair it with the World Series pick, which is the Baltimore Orioles at 14-1. My favorite player prop with the Baltimore Orioles is Gunnar Henderson over 79.5 RBI. Hit this number last year with 82. All projections like him over with about 87, 88 where they expect him to land. And I think it could be even higher than that. Red hot in spring. The batting average last year was about 255. Take that up to 275 this year, which is not a crazy thing to ask for a guy with top 10 odds to an American League MVP. And all of a sudden, more balls are in play, more guys are scoring. Plus, a lot of time spent batting leadoff or batting second for Baltimore, projected to hit third this season with Adley Rutschman and Cedric Mullins in front of Gunnar Henderson. 79.5 RBI for Gunnar Henderson, the favorite bet for you there. The favorite win total, of course, Braves under that 101.5. People are saying they like that Milwaukee Brewers month, end of April, under 13.5. Now, if we can remove this for a minute here, because we spend 2 hours, and I, again, most unbiased man in history of sports media. Orioles win the World Series, a Toronto Blue Jay to win AL MVP, and it's hard work. But that's what I have to do for you people. But I have 20 seconds to remind everybody that the New York Yankees likely go 162-0. Carlos Rodon, is that a Cy Young right here? Bounce back special. Could be Aaron Boone. Could be Aaron Boone for American League Manager of the Year. Soto and Judge split the MVP. Astros in for a wake-up call on Thursday. Nestor Cortez, bring it home, cuzzo. The Yanks are back in a big way. We'll see you there.